Everyone, and thank you for being here. And I would also like to appreciate all the help and efforts of my co-authors in coming up with the data that was required to do this analysis. And so what we have found is that with the data that we have collected using UAVs, we've had the ability to predict yield with very high correlation. So we've been very successful in predicting yield using crop growth parameters like NDVI, canopy cover, canopy height, excess greenness index. And so we thought that if we have this data, do we have the ability to be able to predict maybe fiber quality? And we tried to look at those aspects of fiber quality that can be affected by the environment, like micronear, strength, length. But in this presentation, I'm going to focus more on micronear and length. So I've already mentioned that micronear and length are one of those fiber quality parameters that can be affected by the environment. And our focus in this presentation is looking at the photosynthesis period. And during this time, research has shown that micronear and length can be affected by the environment during like 15 to 45 days after anthesis. And so our hypothesis is that since micronear and fiber length are influenced by environmental factors, there might be a possibility that we can develop models that can successfully predict or classify these variables based on crop growth parameters. And so our objectives was to develop a micronear and length prediction models using temporal plant growth parameters. Also, maybe to look at the possibility of classification models using these same parameters, and then to evaluate the level of accuracy of these models. So the plant growth parameters that I used in this study were excess greenness index, NDVI, canopy height, canopy cover, and canopy volume. And I'm focusing on these parameters for the 15 to 45 days after anthesis. And for this particular study, this was the first time for us to do this. I had a total of 240 samples. I had 144 samples from 16 reps of a till versus no-till study. And I had 48 samples of 4 reps from 6 cultivars of a plant population study. And I had another 48 samples of 4 reps from 3 cultivars of single plant phenotyping study. So this is just an example of how we obtain some of the crop growth parameters using our UAS collected data. We develop plot boundaries and grid structures. For this particular work, I used plot boundary data. And so if, for example, if you're going to calculate canopy height, we have what we call a digital surface model. This is the baseline model. And we also, we have the digital surface model. These are the models that we call, these are the models that we have during the growing season. And then the digital elevation model is the baseline model. And so to get canopy height, you have the digital surface model. Subtract the digital elevation model. So at each date, let's say your first flight was maybe last week, that was when you planted and there's nothing that is growing. And then after about 2 to 3 weeks, you have something that is growing, so you collect data from that date. And so the data from that date subtracts the data from the earlier date. That gives you a canopy height model. And then we also have canopy cover and canopy volume. And so I already mentioned earlier on that we are looking at growth parameters for between 15 to 45 days after anthesis. And that is when length or maybe micronear are mostly affected by the environment. And so, and this is the period when you have the development of the length and the weight of your cotton balls, or most of the cotton balls, like the first position balls, second position balls. And this is the relative growth for the weight. And so again, days after anthesis, between 15 and 45, and for weight, we find that maybe around days 20 to about day 45 is when you have that linear phase of growth. So this is just an overall summary of a production window for a typical cotton crop grown in South Texas, maybe in Corpus Christi. You have your germination around March 15, your harvest around July 17, and then you have your microlinear phase development between June 1st and June 30th, your strength between May 25th and June 20th, and your length between May 15 and June 15. So that's about 15 to 45 days after your anthesis. And so based on this date, and one of our objectives was to see that if we have these growth parameters between the 15 days to 45 days, like your canopy cover, your canopy height, and then you have corresponding maybe microlinear values at the end of the season, can you build a model that early on in the season, depending, based on the growth of your cotton crop, can you forecast what your microlinear is going to be at the end of the season, given that all things are constant? So I developed a model. This is just a simple multiple regression model with the given parameter values as my x values, like, what I did was to feed the canopy parameters into the model as the x values, like my canopy height, canopy cover, excess greenness, and DVI. And then I had my macronair as my y values. And so I developed a model, and I split the data into two sets, a training set and a testing set. The training set was about 80% of the 240 samples, and the testing set was the 20% of the 240 samples. And so the training R squared is not really a value that is out of this world, neither is the testing a value that's out of this world. But we see that there is some relationship between these canopy parameters with maybe our microlinear after we send our samples for HVI analysis. But this is really not out of this world. So this is a model for microlinear, and I used, like I said, simple multiple regression, and also did simple multiple regression for length prediction. And again, the results, they are not out of this world. You have a training R squared of 0.4 and a testing R squared of 0.43. There is some relationship there, but maybe not the best of the relationships. So then I began to think that, so what are some of the things that maybe we can be looking at? Do we really want to, let's say maybe you're looking at a producer, or maybe you're looking at a plant breeder. What is their focus when they're breeding for quality? Do they really want the actual numbers, or are they concerned maybe mostly about the class? For example, if you have premium grade of microlinear, are you concerned about whether it's a 3.7, whether it's a 3.8, whether it's a 4.2, or you are concerned that it falls within that grade? So then thinking about that, I went on to test for other possibilities. So instead of trying to come up with the actual microlinear values, my next point was to say, can I classify, can I group these different microlinear values? Like if I put them in the classes, for example, if you have a baseline grade, which means your microlinear values are between 3.4 and 3.7, or between 4.2 and 5.0. So I said, so if your concern is not getting an actual value, but having values within that particular class. So maybe I can build classification models instead of prediction models. And these are the classes that I'm going to use. And so for my 240 samples, I had 177 fall within the base class. I had just 3 samples fall within the high micronia, which is the discounted value, and the low, I had only about 10 samples, and that's also a discounted. And then I had about 50 samples fall within the premium grade. I did also the same thing for length classification. If you want to focus on length, do you want to focus on particular values or you want to focus on your fiber falling within a certain class? And so length is classified as being short if it's less than 0.99, medium if it's between 0.99 and 110, and long 1.11 to 1.26, and extra long if it's above 1.26. And this is the distribution of my values. I left out the short class because I did not have any short fibers for my analysis when I did my classification. And so for this classification, I looked at two models. I looked at an artificial neural network. This is like a multi-layer perceptron. It's a supervised learning algorithm, meaning that you give it data, you tell it that if you want to predict maybe a premium value of micronia, this is what the values should be. So because I already had results from the HVI classification, I could feed those into the model. And then, but this network can also be used for either classification or regression, but in this case, I used it for regression. And I already talked about the parameters that I used for the classification, which were greenness index, canopy height, cover, and volume. And so the other model that I used was the support vector machine, and it also can be used for either regression or classification, but in this case, I used it for classification. And then to evaluate the models, I used the F score, which helps us to measure recall and precision at the same time. And it is the harmonic mean of the two, where recall is, you're saying, of all the positive classes that you have, how many have you predicted correctly? And precision is, of all the positive classes that you have predicted correctly, how many of these are positive? And then for micronia, the artificial neural network, for the base grade, I had a precision of 0.81, 0.83 for the recall, and an F1 score of 0.80. So the F1 score ranges from 0 to 1, and the closer it is to 1, the better your model is. So in this case, the base grade of the micronia was reasonably well classified, but not so much for the low. Reasonable for the premium, I would think, but probably room for improvement if we've got more data. And the weighted average for the F1 score is like 0.72, which I think is not that bad. And then I did the same thing for the length, and for the length, the results were even much better compared to the micronia. Out of time? 1 minute. Okay, and then the same methodology I used for the support vector machine. This is also a different model, but still classification, and you use precision and recall and the F1 score. And again, this F1 score for the support vector machine for the base grade was actually closely related or similar to the artificial neural network. And even the weighted average score is almost the same. And then for the length, classification, I had maybe for the long fiber, I think it was the best classified compared to the rest. And this was also close to what the artificial neural network predicted. And so in conclusion, the models show that we have the potential to use in-season growth parameters to predict or classify micronia and length. However, to really come up to maybe final conclusions. A larger and more variable data set will be looked at in the future. And we also have to consider that there are other factors at the end of the day that are going to affect our lint quality after bore opening, and maybe we might want to put those into the model. If, for example, we can, if we're predicting early on in the season, we might tell maybe a producer or a breeder that this is what your classes might look like. But then if these unseen, if these other factors come into play, that might change. So those are things that we might need to consider. And with that, I would like to thank you for being here and listening to my presentations. And do I have time for questions?
No, let's take a moment.